As far as bevacizumab in the stage 3 arena, again, only I hear a strong caution, TE fistulas, you know, being seen in patients treated with chemo and radiation and bevacizumab. There's one trial moving forward at UNC by Mark Sosinski, and they have so far not seen prohibitive toxicities. Other trials have closed because of an unacceptable number of lethal toxicities. So I think it will be a while before we know how to incorporate at least bevacizumab. I'm not referring to all of the other anti-VEGF inhibitors. And as far as cetuximab, that's probably the most promising agent in the setting. We have the head and neck cancer data. So that to me is a paradigm trial. So we have the RTOG study that looked at chemo and radiation with cetuximab. That trial led to the best median survival ever seen in any RTOG trial in the past decade. Obviously, there may be a little bit of patient selection there, but it's very encouraging. And then we had the CLGB study using a different chemo regimen, carbopemetrexate with cetuximab, and the results of that trial as far as efficacy are still pending.
Yeah, well, I'm such an interesting life. Yesterday, yeah. I interviewed Rakesh Jain, you know, from Harvard, and talking about his work, trying to unravel what goes on with bevacizumab and radiation therapy. Of course, he did the classic study with Chris Willett looking at rectal cancer, where they really studied these people so carefully. But I was reading his work before the interview, and you know, really, they didn't really realize that, you know, way back in the beginning, the issue was he actually demonstrated that chemo really didn't get into the tumors that well. And the whole concept of the, you know, disordered blood supply and trying to, you know, sort of make a, you know, lead to better oxygenation. And so, you know, I guess it wouldn't be too illogical to think that if you threw in bevacizumab with radiation therapy, maybe what you would see would be a lot of anti-tumor effect. And maybe these fistulas or things that are happening. I've talked to the radiation oncologists also, and they say, well, you know, you see this when you have tumor response. Is that your take on what might be going on here with the radiation and the biologics?
I think it may very well be the case. I think it's analogous to the discussion of cavitation leading to pulmonary hemorrhage in squamous cell carcinoma patients. Is this a manifestation of a brisk, you know, response? It could very well be. But it does pose some
practical
pretty challenging
questions.
Exactly issues on the practical standpoint.